Welcome to Knowledge for Caregivers. My name is Kathy, the host of this podcast. Since I have been a geriatric nurse for almost 10 years, helping seniors age in place, I'm going to give you the knowledge that I use to help my own family so you can help your family. Welcome back to the dog days of summer. It is hot, cold, rainy, wet, all kinds of things here in the middle of the United States. One of the things I want to talk about is older people and pets. About 5 or 6 years ago, when my dad was 84, 85, he had a valve replaced in his heart. When he got home, he couldn't get out and go do stuff, and he was feeling a little bit down. He told one of my brothers that he would like a pet cat. So they went out and got him 2 cats. For me personally, I wasn't thrilled because my husband is very allergic to cats, which means we cannot go visit at my dad's house. On the other hand, even though it was frustrating for us, I think in the long run, this turned out to be something good for my dad. He had the cats to entertain him. He took care of the cats. He fed the cats. The cats kept him on a routine. The cats gave him something to do. This became especially beneficial during the pandemic when dad was sort of locked up at home and couldn't go anywhere and he had his pet cats to hang out with. And we have seen that in the research, pets really do provide a tremendous amount of physical and emotional help to individuals. Research has shown that people who have a pet have higher physical activity. You know, the pets need to be fed, to be walked if they're a dog. And this is something that can really help an older adult stick to a routine, maybe get some exercise, and just take some time out to hang out with the cat. Having a pet can also provide emotional support. So it can help those older adults who are dealing with things like loneliness. And when they call up somebody, like when I call my dad, I'm always like, what is going on with your cats? Instead of, what are you watching on TV all day, every day? Especially, like I said, when the pandemic saying that they were staying home. So there definitely are benefits to pets. I had a client and his wife was on hospice. The hospice agency brought out a therapy dog. And that client just, it lit up his face. It was the most animated I had seen him be. I talked to the son and the son said, no way. He goes, I'm already having to manage my parents' medications. I'm having to manage their doctor appointments. I don't want to have a pet that I have to now get to the vet and all of that. So even though caregivers would be in the home making sure the pets got fed and went outside to the bathroom, it still would fall upon the children to make sure that they could get to the vet. So I just want to go over some pros and cons of getting pets. I had someone else who had 2 cats. She actually got to the point where she could barely take care of herself at all. Actually, it was to the point that here in the United States, we call adult protective services when we feel that someone's physical or mental condition is so bad that they really should not live at home alone. One of the reasons this woman had stayed home so long was she had 2 cats that were very special to her. She didn't want to move. More and more older persons' homes, whether you go to assisted living or independent living, they do allow you to bring the pets, especially if you go to somewhere that's called independent living, because independent living means you're just moving into an apartment. They will probably provide your meals. They will probably help with housekeeping, but you are responsible for everything else for yourself and taking care of your pets. When you move into an assisted living, you might need some help getting dressed, maybe taking a shower. They still don't want you to move the pet into the assisted living unless you can also take care of that pet. So that can be a real downside because people are like, hey, I don't want to move if I can't take my pet with them. We also see a problem with pets like when people live on the coast and they're evacuating from a hurricane and they're like, I can't take my pets to the shelter, and so they don't go. It does delay people moving into care homes, but like I said, that can be both a beneficial thing or that can be a negative thing. I understand that a lot of people are saying, hey, we should let people be able to bring their pets, but many of the assisted livings or nursing homes or memory cares, they are struggling with staffing just to be able to take care of the clients. It makes it really difficult if you're now telling a facility you have to bring in a pet. Something like a cat that can be kept in their room that maybe doesn't require a lot of care is not as hard. But once you start talking about dogs and you have to take them out to the bathroom, are they safe for other residents, those types of things, it definitely becomes a lot more complicated to bring those animals into more of an assisted living or a memory care where a person may not be able to take care of their pet. As I'm saying, these facilities really, you know, they're trying to get staff just to take care of clients. The other thing that we look at with pets is, again, can they take care of the pets in their home? Not just getting them to the vet, that can be a problem for a homebound individual, but can they, you know, groom their hair? Can they notice if there's a problem going on? I had an older gentleman that had two dogs and two cats, and he was able to stay home, but he does have some memory problems, and he kept feeding his pets all the time because he had forgotten that he had just fed them. That does become a problem in that, you know, his pets were getting overweight and were beginning to have health problems. The other thing that you have to look at with pets is tripping hazards. I have known people who have fallen either over their pets or their pet's bed or their pet's litter box or something like that. Food bowls, you know, you have to bend down and be able to put their food on the ground. Those are definitely things to take into consideration when you're looking for a pet. One of the things that, as I was doing my research about pet ownership, is to look for an older animal. The advantages of an older animal is they're already more laid back because they're kind of old and maybe they have creaky joints, so they're not looking to run around the yard or do something like that. But again, the downside to an older pet is that they are probably going to require more vet visits. Again, if you have someone who's having trouble getting out to the doctor, they need to be able to have a family member or somebody who can take their animal to the vet. But older pets who are difficult to adopt, because even myself, when I was looking at adopting pets, I didn't want a pet that would only live another couple of years and that I had to spend a tremendous amount of vet bills on them. So most people are looking for those pets that are under 4 years old, especially if you're looking at something like dogs. Cats, maybe not as much of a problem. Some solutions also are for older people to be able to foster the older pets, which means that they take them in, see if it works out for them. Then they kind of keep the pet on a foster basis, knowing that maybe somebody would adopt them. Most of the time, they don't adopt an older dog, but if something was to happen to them, maybe the shelter would take the dog back and find that dog another place. One of the things that we did when we adopted our dog was I was thinking about making the dog a therapy dog. Getting in touch with groups that bring dogs to group events for older people is always a good thing. When we adopted our dog, I wasn't sure, but he just is such a friendly dog. And I brought in a trainer and said, would this dog make a good therapy dog? So far, he loves people, but he's definitely still a little bit too impulsive for me to do that. There are things that I have to do to train the dog and get certification to make sure that the dog can be a benefit and a therapy dog. Again, as I said, when it comes to looking at pets, we definitely know that people who have pets do better, but it also can be a source of problems. The other thing you have to look at, my husband and I now are starting to, sometimes we're like, do we want to go out this evening? What are we going to do with the dog? Now that we have a younger dog who chews things, we have to put him in the kennel. We really can't leave him outside. And then we're like, do we really want to go out and put the dog up and that kind of stuff? Or even start looking at trips, like, do we really want to go somewhere? Do we want to take the dog with us? So I can see that older people may not do as much going out and traveling because they may go, I don't know what to do with my dog. Those are different things to weigh out when you're looking at the benefits of having a pet and all of the physical benefits and social and emotional benefits that come from petting an animal, taking care of an animal, and feeling like, hey, I have real purpose here. This animal is dependent on me. Versus also the hazards, the trip hazards, whether or not they can get the animal to the vet in time, whether they can provide the proper care for the animal if they're just struggling to take care of themselves. So keep all these things in mind when you are looking at possibly getting a pet for an older person or if their pet dies. Some people are like, you know, they're really sad. Do I get them another pet? Those are all things to look at and make sure if the person is cognizant that you say, okay, if we get you a pet, what is going to be the plan if you can no longer take care of them? Is there somebody in the family that says, I will take this pet, or is it going to go back to the shelter? Because I think if it's going back to the shelter, I would be like, you know, let's wait and see if there is a longer term solution for that pet. Thank you for listening. Try to stay cool if you're in the Northern Hemisphere and experiencing a hot summer. Thank you for listening to this podcast. The information that I am giving is meant for informational or educational purposes only. They are not meant to replace the advice and consent of a person's primary care doctor or physician. If you wish to send me an email, you can do it at info@KathysConsulting, KathysConsulting.com. Or you can check out my website at KathysConsulting.com. I would love to hear from you. Thank you for going on this caregiving journey with me.